My name is Ashley Ortega, class of 2022, and this is my podcast, Hooked on Cola. It is here that we explore the College of Liberal Arts and the majors the university has to offer. You'll hear from professors, department chairs, and current students who are sharing their personal experiences here at the 40 Acres. Longhorn Band, play me out. Today, I have with me Lewis Miller, Assistant Director, and Mary Rose, the Director of Human Dimensions of Organizations. I just really wanted to highlight you guys because I'm really appreciative of everything y'all do. And with that, I would like to jump into what is Human Dimensions of Organizations, other than a mouthful. I guess, Lewis, starting with you, what is your definition of HDO?
Thanks, Ashley. My definition of HDO, how I think about HDO, is that it is a program based in the liberal arts in which individuals at any point in their academic or professional career can learn and understand better how humans function as individuals and groups and organizational settings, from the boardroom to a church organization. We really look at how do groups form and function in organizations? How do those groups and organizations function successfully? And we provide our students with ways to increase their understanding to help themselves and help others function in those organizations. So the program, the HDO program, the conception of it started in 2011. And at that time, the leadership at UT's College of Liberal Arts, including then-Dean Randy Deal and Mark Music and others within the college, were exploring how they could take the many disciplines that are represented at UT's College of Liberal Arts and combine them into an innovative program aimed at improving understanding of how humans function in organizational settings. And so the first step in that process was creating a executive master's program. They spent 2 years identifying leaders on campus, a group of faculty who were very interested in supporting the initiative, and then a group of external advisors who came from the business world, nonprofits, primarily from Texas, but around the country, who could identify gaps that they were seeing in the workplace. What knowledge, what skills were folks coming out of college or out of other graduate options like an MBA showing up in the workplace and they're not ready to take on challenges? And then how could HDO as a program fill some of those gaps? And we launched our 15-month master's program in 2013. We are now about to graduate our 10th cohort in the master's program in December. In 2016, we decided to open this up to the much broader undergraduate audience as well, and spent a considerable amount of time reformatting and rethinking some of the curriculum to take into account the fact that the vast amount of experience that our master's students tend to bring to the classroom, for most of our undergrads, not all, most of our undergrads come into the classroom without that workplace experience to draw on. So how could we take the ideas of HDO that had worked really well at the master's level and create a curriculum that was still effective and innovative for undergrads, taking into account that lack of experience? And so we have now had hundreds of students come through the HDO undergraduate program as well. And then in addition to those 2 4-credit offerings, we also offer 1 and 4-day open enrollment training programs for professionals, most of which have at least an undergraduate education, but some who do not, who are looking for tapping into this human-centered education and understanding of groups and organizations in a more bite-sized, approachable format. And so I think we've got 3 really great options here for anyone at any level, any age, any type of experience who wants to explore human-centered organizational challenges. And that is all down to the foresight and insight that our college's leadership had back in 2011 when they were considering launching this program. The HDO logo is a very nice collection of our abbreviated name with a orange loop or behind the three letters HDO. And that's not just the result of a graphic designer having fun. The original vision of HDO rests on three pillars. So a lot of courses and a lot of programs are designed around content and methodology. So what do we want to confer? What information do we want to convey, I should say? And then how did the people that created the information come up with it? What did they do to find that out? And that's fairly traditional across universities, across different disciplines. And the distinction for HDO is we wanted to close that loop by adding applicability. So not only are you learning the topic itself, how the folks went about finding out what they're teaching you about that topic, but also then how are you now going to go and apply that to the organization you're looking at, you're working in, again, whether that's where you're working right now, whether that's your religious institution, whether that's maybe your family.
Yeah,
you know, if you've got a big or dynamic family. I've heard from many of our, at least our master students, that they've taken lessons from classes to help reduce family conflict, to become stronger communicators. But yes, so the reason behind the loop is that HDO is built on content, methodology, and applicability, which is, we think, a fairly unique selling point for HDO.
Mary, is there anything you would like to add to that?
I think Lewis summarized it in an excellent way. I think what I would add is you often hear from industry leaders that what they need in a modern workforce is people who can think and can innovate and be creative. So often you can get somebody into a job and teach them the basics of those of that job. But companies and lots of organizations are not set up to teach you to write, to teach you to be critical, to teach you to be that ethical voice in the institution. But I really think that places of work are hungry for that. At the same time, you want to have kind of the right level of analysis. And a lot of liberal arts justifies itself, rightly so, as a place to learn to do those things, right? I think, as Lewis is saying, there's a different way of approaching it too, which is to focus all of those cool things in liberal arts, the creativity, the innovation, the analysis, on organizations, right? The aim of our program is to help you see that those connections more by having the focus be at the organizational level. And that doesn't necessarily, as Lewis noted, mean only work organizations. It very much can, but it can be your place of worship. It can be the military. It can be even a nonprofit or a voluntary organization. And so our point is to take all the things about liberal arts that are true gems, but just have almost like a laser, focus it on organizational life rather than asking students to make that connection themselves.
And talking about structure, if one of you wanted to jump in and sort of give us, I guess, the bare bones structure of the required courses of HDO and sort of the thought that went into making those core classes.
I'll take that one. One model is simply to review all the liberal arts disciplines, like have a week on anthropology, what's an anthropologist do and how do they learn what they know, so that people go in with kind of a bigger grounding. Other people teach it. They do some of that, but they also want to use it as a time to talk through organizational life and some of the bare bones of organizational life. And a second course, and very important course, is a methodology, research methodology course. That one, unlike the graduate program, is both qualitative and quantitative methodology in one course. But the questions are the same, which is, what are best practices in getting data? And what inferences can you make from data that are valid and reliable? And some kinds of data, interview data, observational data are more qualitative because what's produced is sort of either words or notes, and some are very analytical and mathematical. But the point is the same. You're making inferences about the world by looking at a small slice of it empirically. And then a newer required course is what's called Identities and Organizations. And that's a chance to talk through. Diversity's kind of gotten a bad rap. And I use it in the sense of the likelihood that someone in your organization isn't just like you. And that can mean for lots of reasons. It does not only mean about race and gender. It can mean older, younger. You know, it can mean someone who is disabled versus somebody who is able-bodied, so that you are learning about what it means to have the, whether it's inequality or difference or just completely different life experiences in an organization, and what do we know and think about that. And then finally is a capstone class, which is really something we're very proud of in our major. It's taking teams of people and pairing with organizations and having them untangle a project and answer a question for that organization as a team. And you can see just in that course that it's bringing together all the things that we're trying to get across. You are having to work with other people for good or ill. And I've taught enough group projects to know it's both. You are having to take a specific issue and peel it apart the way you would an onion and try to figure out the best answer for that organization. You're having to learn to communicate not only with your team, but with the partnering organization and make sure that your claims are supported and that you're presenting them in an excellent way. Then the way the major works, that's only four courses that I've mentioned. The way the other courses work is you have to take, it's divided between a methodology strand, a creativity strand, and then what's been called kind of a culture and communications or cultural diversity strand, cultural competence strand. And it's really, again, once again, representing what liberal arts does. Liberal arts teaches you how to analyze and think with data. It teaches you to be creative in the English and humanities. And it teaches you how to reason and to work with others. And so people have to take one course from each of those areas, and then they pick one and they just take a few more courses to fill out the major. It's really designed to recognize that liberal arts has these different contributions to make to organizations, and we really let undergrads take a wide variety of courses to meet that, but again, to bring it back to that focus on organizations.
And as someone who does not work on the undergraduate program nearly as much as I've worked on the other parts of HDO, I've seen some of the capstone products that that students have done in 379, and some of them are professional consultant quality. The final product, the recommendations, the thoughtfulness, the amount of time and care that the students have clearly put into learning about the organization that they've been paired with and trying to successfully solve the problem that they were given by that organization. So it's not marketed this way, it's not sold this way, but in a lot of ways it's free, high quality consultant work, which is great for the organizations, because a lot of times we're paired with organizations that don't have access to that kind of work. They're working on limited budgets. And it's also great for the students, because they can come out of their HDO experience with a very tangible example of taking all of these different disciplines that Mary was talking about and applying them to a real tangible problem.
Yeah, and going into that, I was actually paired with Atmosphere TV. They were rapidly expanding. At the time that I had come into the project with Atmosphere, they had locations nationwide. And then by the time that our project had ended with them, they'd actually expanded globally into Europe. So they had come to HDO with the problem or the agenda of, we are rapidly expanding. We have people all over the nation and now all over the globe. These people are interacting remotely and in person. And their big focus was making sure that their employees felt connected and were appreciated. They were very aware that not everybody's identity and work is the same. And they wanted to come up with a better solution to meet all of these needs. We were expected to get to know our organization, you know, what is Atmosphere, what is essentially like their culture, what do they believe in? And from that, we did both quantitative and qualitative research. We went to the flagship headquarters in Austin and met with some of the people that worked there. We also created a survey and did secondary research into what are other companies who are looking for these same, I guess, solutions. What are they doing? What has worked? What is not working? And how could we possibly apply that? The data that I had essentially found was this generational workforce is different. We've gone through this whole pandemics type situation, but more and more you're not seeing the experience that our parents or our grandparents had where you worked at the same company for 40, 50 years. We're seeing people bounce around more and needs that aren't being met. Essentially, the workforce has to do some catching up and is going to have to address these problems that this new generation is posing. Like, we want a more work-life balance. We care more about diversity and equity and inclusion. We want our voices to be heard and represented. So that was my recommendation. I took the course with Dr. Amy Nathan-Wright. Huge shout out to her. She's been phenomenal. We still keep in touch today. And we come into class virtually, of course, because COVID's a thing. And we are shown examples of these finished 379 projects. And this is essentially a binder's worth of research and application and recommendations, as well as a huge insight to the organization that these students are partnered with. And I'm sitting in my room thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I'm expected to produce this. This is a monumental task. And I was incredibly intimidated. And Amy Nathan-Wright being the just absolute superstar that she is, you know, broke it down. And one thing I really, really loved about the class was we were not allowed to pick our teams. This is who you were assigned to. You're going to make this work. Because, you know, in the real world, you don't choose who you're working with. It's sort of, you know, this is who you have, and you need to collaborate in an effective manner. It was an incredible experience. And being that it was during the pandemic, many of us didn't have a chance to do internships. I took this course, and it's something that I can put on my resume. I didn't just sit in class and write all of these papers that, you know, end up going into, I guess, an abyss. You know, yeah, or, you know, my Google Drive, and, you know, I wrote them for a class. And they're not really, I guess, applicable to other things, but this course is throwing students into a real-world environment and saying, this is just a taste of what is to come.
Yeah. That's an amazing story. I'm also just struck by the question that the company gave to you. Could you tell us how all our employees all over the world can get along? You know,
Small task.
Yeah. You
very
know?
Small task.
And and again, I think that speaks to, you raised so many good points about why liberal arts belongs in this conversation with business. We have been asking these kinds of questions for centuries. How do you get along? How do you check the leadership that's in power and make sure they're hearing from people under them? How do you work with people who are not like you? And
work-life balance.
Work-life balance, yes. You know. And so that it takes different forms, as you rightly point out. and different priorities emerge with a generation, but some of the core questions are just the same.
Yeah, if I can jump in the master's program, there's also a capstone project component. And unlike the undergraduate program, it's actually an individual project as opposed to a group project. But some of the things that you were discussing actually have been tackled at the graduate level too. One of our alums from our class of 2015, he wanted to look at what you were discussing, the idea of a company man. If someone taking a job at 20 and staying at that organization until they're 60, 65, retiring, and then they're done, that's for the most part gone, that reality, and it's probably not coming back. And so this individual wanted to look at how can companies adapt to that. And so he was looking for what types of organizations have to consistently maintain quality of performance with a continuously changing workforce. And his kind of analog or comparison was he then went and interviewed all of UT's athletic coaches, because athlete or UT athletic departments, like any athletic departments at major universities, are expected to maintain excellence, winning records. I'm not a sports person, so I don't know all the stats, but you know, they're required to maintain some level of excellence over time, but their quote unquote employees, student athletes, are turning over every 4 years. And so he saw that comparison or that analogy, and he went and interviewed the head coaches of all the UT sports, and he took that their responses and compared that to what do business leaders do. And he made a series of recommendations for what he calls the differences between leadership and management in a free agent world. That was the title of his capstone project. So it's not always it doesn't have to be stodgy research. I mean, this can be very fun. You know, you're looking at things like how do athletic coaches maintain excellence when their folks are turning over constantly. But I wanted to bring that up because I think it shows that the issues that the undergrads are looking at and the issues that the grad students are looking at are often very similar. They're just taking them from different perspectives after sometimes decades in the workplace versus being brand new to the professional life.
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to bring up and I want to highlight is, as opposed to, I guess, your traditional major at a university, you can do your 4 years, obtain your undergraduate's degree, and then jump right into your master's program and do your graduate studies. That is not the case with HDO here at UT. Would y'all like to go into that a little bit more?
Yeah, I'll start. It's a reflection that they're doing different things. And for HDO, the capstone, as Lewis points out, is individual, and it is taking up an issue that, you know, has either you've struggled with or want to, you know, tease out a little bit more and thinking about it in a creative way. And I think, you know, what's more creative than figuring out that turnover in the workplace is a lot like turnover in sports? That's creativity right there. And so we're asking people to draw on their experience. And so we do ask that people be 5 years post undergrad, and so that they had a chance to go out and be with organizations. Now, we don't have any other requirements than that. So someone could go out and every year have changed jobs, and we would look at them the same as if they went out and have had 5 years of experience. Most of the people that apply to us come much later in their careers, because it actually does take a while to get up in the organization to the level that you start seeing these bigger, knottier issues. Often when you're more entry level, they just want you to figure out the problem in front of you and get the work done. But it's when people are in supervisory positions, they may not be high, you know, we're not talking CEOs, but just in the kind of line management, team management, that they start saying, hey, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to think about this. Or they've been in engineering, very successful for a long time, but in order to keep moving in that, they're going to have to manage people now, you know, and they're going to have to be the people skills start being more important. And in our experience, that is a little bit more mid-career than early career. But we'll take them if they give us a good reason why they're a good fit for the program. But it's a very different graduate experience.
I think the by default, the program, the master's part of the program, was designed to bring in folks who have had that workplace experience, whether, as Mary said, it's, you know, they've had five plus years in one organization, or they've jumped around and they haven't found their home yet, but they've had a lot of experience. And we don't have a student profile for the graduate program. We thought one might emerge after the first few years, but really the kind of organic diversity, and by diversity, we always mean, you know, traditional measures of diversity, age, race, gender, ethnicity, but also professional background diversity. The organic diversity that our first few cohorts were comprised of, we saw just really strengthened the curriculum that was already put together by the faculty and staff, to the point that our students say that they, you know, learn just as much from one another as they learn from our faculty. The faculty are there to provide insightful readings and assignments and activities for the students to undertake. And then when it gets into classroom discussions and out of classroom discussions that our students have together, that's when the real application element comes into play, because we don't pretend that all of our faculty know how to take anthropology and necessarily apply it directly to a workplace. That has to come from the students' involvement. And I imagine, based on what we've said here, that's a fairly similar situation in the undergraduate course, is that the faculty are the guides and the students are helping tease out how do you apply that.
Yeah, and learning from your specific team.
Absolutely. That was, you know, another thing in working or being a part of a program that's still relatively newer. You know, we have the, I don't know, I guess you would say more established majors, you know, business, psychology, sociology. HDO is not that. You know, it's relatively newer and it's very interdisciplinary. We were always posed the question at the end of a semester, what did you really gain from this? Do you have any recommendations to grow the program? What maybe necessarily wasn't as beneficial as they'd initially thought it would be? The student body as a whole in this major is also helping to shape where we're going in the future. And I think that's another, I guess, cutting edge that HDO has. We've essentially taken higher level education and turned it on its head. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. And when I told my parents that I was going to university, they were super proud of me. And then I told them, by the way, I got into the College of Liberal Arts. They were, well, Ashley, what are you going to do with that? You know, I feel like initially they're like, well, why didn't you go to McCombs, a school of business, or get an engineering degree? I feel like liberal arts maybe isn't taken as seriously, or, you know, their contributions aren't as respected. And HDO, I feel like, is really countering that. In my 379 project, one of the aspects was tackling technology. How are these groups going to interact in an effective manner globally, nationwide? I didn't have the first idea of anything technological. Somebody on my team was super into computer science. She had created this whole formatting in Slack. And, you know, kudos to her, because I could never in a million years begin to tackle that problem. But it's understanding the dynamics of a team and how can I, as an individual in an organization, support other people.
Yeah. And very much hard to do and hard to teach, right?
Exactly.
The idea of drawing strength from somebody else on the team, and it's not stealing those ideas, right? But instead figuring out how to work well and channel that as a team effort. I'm thinking about how much work is our identity, you know, for good or ill. And wouldn't you want it to be somebody who feels that you can go through the world more confidently, that you can reason and you can think and you can write and communicate, so that core piece of your identity is more confident, is more agile, right? And so that, just as you were saying earlier, that you can move. And those core pieces of what you do well in the workplace stay, even if you move jobs.
Exactly. And I think, you know, adding to that a little bit more, I guess, humility, like being able to say, I don't exactly know how to tackle this problem, you know, and reaching out to your coworkers or other people in the organization, like, how would you tackle this? And saying, I need help.
Right.
The idea of HDO, you know, at my time here was just limited to UT Austin. Is this expanding? Because if I had it my way, HDO would be at every university, every college in the world.
So we have expanded to UT Rio Grande Valley, and that is this really wonderful synergy between the masters and the undergraduates. So we had a master's student a few years ago, an alum I taught, I'm really excited by. And she was from Rio Grande Valley, ran a business there, and had close ties to the university, and just raved about what she was able to do at the master's level. But it was at the same time we were beginning the undergraduate program. And in a way, the undergraduate program is probably an easier start at a lot of different kinds of institutions than the master's program is. The master's program requires a particular kind of teaching and engagement, and it's a little bit easier to kind of shift gears and bring in people in the undergrad side. And so that program launched. I think they just began this school year with bringing in people, maybe a little bit in the spring, I'm not sure. But we've had our lecturers. Amy Nathan Wright couldn't go down, but she did remotely. And then Tracy Worcester and a new faculty member, Laura Arisman Hernandez, they all went down and talked to the UTRGV people and sort of seeding it and really helping and being supportive there. To pick on the newspaper, you know, a lot of colleges are looking to close down what they call one of the low enrollment majors or the humanities, because there's so much pressure that voters are feeling like your parents did. Like, what's the value here? What's the value here? And liberal arts is always trying to explain that. But what places are often looking to that want to save those faculties, save those departments, is more interdisciplinary around a theme. So I think HGO would be poised to expand very well at places that are looking. Again, you're taking the strength of liberal arts, but now making it focused on organizations. And so that you can have someone, you know, we had for years in the master's program, the person who taught our course on leadership was an expert in early Greece and, you know, kind of early Roman, the classics. And he taught the classics to talk about leadership, right? He was not somebody, again, given the TED Talks about those things. He was a philosopher and he was a classicist. And so you can learn about leadership by studying kind of some classic issues. Someone who's got expert in medieval and Renaissance times teaching the prince, right? And teaching about how power has worked across the ages. You can have people in anthropology teach you about culture, but just apply it and look at it more at an organizational level. And psychologists, sociologists, you know, kind of running through it. They all have a voice in this. And if what people need, and I believe them, they need to see that college is value added, that all that money and effort is worth something. This is a way, I think, of having a little bit of the best of both worlds. You have, again, you're not reinventing the wheel every time someone has a new question about how to make my workplace, you know, function. Instead, you are bringing solid answers into focus of organizations.
Yeah, I mean, I think to pick up on that a little bit, the question or the topic of the day right now is obviously AI, or one of the topics of the day is AI, and how that may disrupt workplaces, change people's roles, eliminate roles. But to the point that Mary was saying earlier, like the question of technological disruption in a workplace or in a society is not new. The same thing was happening when the printing press was invented. The same thing has been happening for centuries, maybe millennia, of like people wondering, how is this next thing going to fundamentally alter our relationship to work, to each other, to our daily lives? And what we see over time is that those questions keep popping up. And so even though the subject of the question might today be AI, the fundamental nature of the question is the same that it's been for hundreds of years. And that's why someone like a philosopher or a classicist can pull on things like Plato or the Prince to look at these questions in ways that some of our students come in very skeptical at first of, like, you're assigning me what? You're assigning me this to tackle this? And then it takes, over the course of a semester working with their fellow students and the faculty, that at some point that light bulb aha moment hits and they're like, oh, I see what they're talking about.
Yeah, Paul Krugman is a columnist for the New York Times, and I remember him saying in a column that the most dangerous words for people to utter is, everything is different now, because chances are it's not.
Very well put. Just sort of, we've burned through a lot very quickly. Is there anything that I haven't touched on?
You should talk about the logo.
So I think there's one other thing I would like to
say.
Go
ahead.
But we recently surveyed, this is at the master's level, but we did a survey of our alumni, and we were primarily trying to find ways to keep in touch with them. But in this survey, we asked for some feedback, suggestions. We're very big on feedback, as we talked about earlier, how we can improve the program, what are you doing now, how are you taking what you learned in HDO and applying it to things that you're doing now. And one of the things that I view as a marker of success that others may not initially, but some of the feedback we got many students saying, like, my workplace satisfaction is higher after going through the HDO program. A number of students actually answer my workplace satisfaction is lower. And initially you might be like, oh, that's not good. Why, you know, why would your workplace satisfaction be lower? And it's because they now have the lens and the tools to see what's wrong in the organizations that they're either working with or have worked with in the past. And so ideally, those students would either find a way to improve that scenario or, you know, hopefully get out of a scenario that's not good for them. But I take it as kind of a mark of success that those individuals, because of their time in HDO, can look at an environment and say, oh, no, this is toxic, or this is bad. This is not a success. I either need to, if it's possible, I want to change it. If it's not possible for my own sake and others, I need to get out. And I just like to bring that up because it's a little counterintuitive to what you might want to hear from graduates of a program, but I think of it as a huge success.
I would definitely agree with that. Like I've said 100 times, and I'll say it 100 more times, I am a champion for HDO. I think that, you know, the real world experience that we have to offer here and the relevance of liberal arts very much is there. And I hope to see this major expand further than UT Austin and Rio Grande Valley. And I would just like to thank you both for taking time out of your day to discuss this with me. And, you know, I appreciate everything you've done for the university. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hook 'em.
And hook 'em, yes.